ahead and jump in it. If you can, go ahead and grab your iPhones, your iPads, your Bibles, whatever that you have, and let's turn to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and I'm going to start at verse 6 just to get us started. And as I told you all on last week, this is our foundational verse for this sermon series that we're in called Living Generously. And so today's sermon title is Grace Giving. Grace Giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. If you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 reads as such. It says, and I'm going to read out of the NLT version. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives what? Cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Can we throw up our mission statement? And just as enthusiastically as we just sung that last song, if we can just as enthusiastically, let's recite, let's say our mission statement all together. One, two, three. Connect Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today. God, we just thank you for who you are. God, thank you for being a great God. Thank you for your sovereignty. God, just thank you for just being you. And God, here we are, God. Your humble servants come to hear a word from you today. And so, God, I pray as we hear this word, that this word today, God, fall on the good soil of our hearts. Not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but on the good soil of our hearts. So that this word, God, can bring back a harvest in our lives. And God, I pray this and ask this one thing, God, that you wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, God, and that is to make your name great. And so, God, I just give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, God, as we dive into, God, this topic today, God, of grace giving. So, God, I pray that you open up our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Children, you are dismissed. So if you were not here last week, and this will be a recap for those of us who were here last week, we started a brand new sermon series called Living Generously. And last week, I got a chance to go in, and the topic of the sermon last week was the foundations of giving. And what we went over and uncovered or discovered is that the first recorded offering was given before the law. And then we uncovered or discovered that the first recorded tithe or tenth given to God was given it predated the law. And so we just established a foundation that why we give is not solely based on the law and the Old Testament. And I told the church last week that one of the rules of biblical interpretation is called the law of first mention. And the law of first mention says that when you want to know the origin of a thing, you go back to the first mention of it in the Bible. Why? Because the Bible interprets itself either within the verse, within the chapter, or it interprets itself within the book of the Bible. And so we laid the foundation last week. This week, what I want to outline for you, and some of you may or may not have heard this term before, but today I want to talk about grace giving. Grace giving. And what does it mean for believers to give under grace? And when I say grace, what you may have heard the term giving under the New Testament. And so, and I really want to reinforce for some, and I want to inform others about the significance of grace giving. And so the sermon idea today is this, giving is a way of life for believers who understand the grace of God. I'll say that again. Giving is a way of life for believers who understand the grace of God. And if I could add this, they understand the impact that the grace of God has had on their lives. And we give from that standpoint. We give not out of obligation. We don't give and I'm jumping ahead, but we're going to dive into why we give and the importance of understanding grace giving. And what grace giving means is this. Grace giving means because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross and what he did in the tomb and coming out of the tomb and being resurrected, we give based on what Christ has done for us. We don't give, and I'm going to use this word, and I've been toying with if I wanted to use this word, but I'm going to say it, and hopefully I can explain it. Under this dispensation, under the dispensation of grace, and what is a dispensation? A dispensation is a season of time. We were under the dispensation of the law. And when Christ came, now we are under the dispensation of grace. And so now everything that we do hinges upon grace. It hinges upon grace and not an obligatory reason, but it's based on what Christ has done on the cross. And because of the work of Christ, we are moved from giving from what's required to giving from the heart. And we must understand that now, and I showed this past week, that we don't give to Levitical priests now. We give to who? The high priest, which is who? Jesus Christ. And I'm going through this and I'm laying this foundation because for some of us that have been in church for a long time, giving can become such a habit and such a routine that we can lose the essence of why we give. We lose the worship aspect of when I take what God has graciously given to me. And I bring a portion of it back to him. And I bring it not based on I have to or I pay. And please understand, please take this word out of your vocabulary when it comes to tithing and offering. You do not pay tithe. Can we all say that together? We do not pay tithe. Why? You pay what? Bills. And we don't want to equate paying bills with giving to God. Because why? You do not worship Chrysler. You don't give to Chrysler the way that you give to God. And so what I want to do is I want to make sure, and I want to take for some of us, and this is not an indictment on all of us, because I can say this, Connect Church is a very generous church. But I think if we don't from time to time go over why we give, we can sometimes fall into this trap of it just being something that we check off the list. And from now going forward, anytime you give, even if it comes out of your bank account on a certain day at a certain time, what I try to do is on the days that my paycheck hit the account, I stop and I give God thanks. And even though it comes out, I still give God praise and thanks. Why? Because it's worship. It's not something that I have to do. It's something that I get to do. And when you understand and have grasped this idea that, man, the psalmist had it so right, so true. When you understand Psalms 24 and verse 1, it says this. It says, the earth is the Lord. And we live where? On earth. Who does earth belong to? The Lord. Psalms 24:1 says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That's everything. That's the cotton and the fabric in the shirt that you're wearing now. In your favorite pair of jeans, it's the cotton that's in the jeans that God made that belongs to Him. So whenever you put on a fresh pair of jeans, you should give God thanks. Why? Because it belongs to Him. And it says, the earth is the Lord and everything in it. Catch this. The world and all its people belong to Him too. Wow. We just come out of the Couples RX, and man, when I think of this and I see the world and its people, I think about the people that God has allowed to come in my life. Such as my wife. Now, some of the guys last week, they beat me up because I said something about my wife, so they just got to beat me up again. I thank God for her. I thank God for you all. Because God has blessed me, or for us to be in each other's lives. And when you understand that, you can't take worshiping God and giving for granted. And so, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, the Apostle Paul starts, he's talking about an offering that he's collecting for the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. And he's talking to the Corinthian church because he had spoke to them about giving this offering a year ago. And now it's time for them to give the offering. And Paul is talking to them in chapter 8, and he says that they made this promise that they were going to give, but they had started to kind of go back on their word. And the reason that this Corinthian church was starting to go back on their promise to give this offering is the spiritual level in the Corinthian church had started to wane. And it started to affect their generosity. And so Paul is reminding them, and we see that today, that you can always identify the spiritual level of a church based on their level of generosity. You show me a non-spiritual church, and I'll show you a church that is not generous. Because you can't have a deep relationship with God and God not affect your heart to want to give and help others. And if I could just say this right here, if you've been around Connect Church for any length of time, you know that we are a generous church. We go above and beyond in our generosity. I could say for Connect Church, and there's a few churches that I can say this about, but we give sometimes even when it hurts. It's a part of our DNA to give 10% back to what you all give in offering. We take 10% of that, and that's the church's tithe that we give from. There's not too many churches that I've seen that's a practice. And so this church that Paul was talking to, this Corinthian church, in chapter 8, he begins to use the Macedonian church as an example, because the Corinthian church, they had this fire to give, so much so that it inspired other churches. And one of the churches that it inspired was the church at Macedonia. And this church was so excited, but what you got to understand about the Macedonian church is they were going through trouble and they were going through turmoil. But Paul says that even though they were going through trouble, they were going through turmoil, and they were a poor church, they were excited to give. Chapter 8 goes on to say that, man, they were so excited to give that they asked Paul if they could give over and above what he asked them for. Because here's the one thing that you got to understand about grace giving. Grace giving is not based on comfort. And so in chapter 8, Paul says this. He says, "Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by troubles and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity." He says, "For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it, what? Of their own free will." He says, they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gifts for the believers in Jerusalem. He says in verse 5, he says, they even did more than we had hoped for their first action was to give thanks to the Lord and to us just as God wanted them to do. And so what Paul is saying is that these churches were giving for kingdom purposes. And what I believe has gotten some of the aspects of giving in a church context twisted is we have had churches that have been collecting tithe and offerings. I said it like this, they've been collecting offerings and tithes for planes, trains, and automobiles. And for some of us, it damaged us and it caused us to not, it caused us to shy away now from giving. Why? Because we don't understand, or it's not clearly communicated, or we don't understand that what we are giving to. I can't speak for any other church, but I can speak for Connect Church. We are not collecting offerings for planes, trains, and automobiles. We are asking our partners to participate in tithe and offering so that we can do kingdom work. And you can check our track record. Because one thing you can know about Aleem Bakari, I don't play with God's money. I don't play with God's money. I've seen God whoop some people, and I use the word whoop. No, he didn't spank them. He didn't put them in time out. God whooped them. I don't play with God's money. I don't play with God's people. And so you can be confident and know that what you're giving to is kingdom purposes here at Connect Church. So let's continue on. Turn with me or go one chapter down. Go to chapter 9. And this is where we're going to hang our hat today for the rest of my time. Chapter 9. And so in chapter 9, verse 1, Paul is still talking to this Corinthian church, and he says this. He says, I really don't need to write to you about this ministry to give for the believers in Jerusalem. For I know how eager you are to help. And I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. He says, in fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. He says, but I am sending these brothers to be sure you are really ready. Paul is reminding and prompting this church, hey, you said you were going to give. Let's stay true to what we said. And he says in verse 4, we would be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if some of the Macedonian believers came with me and found that you weren't ready after all I told them. So I thought I would send these brothers ahead to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But here's the caveat. You might want to underline this. He says, but I want it to be a willing gift, not one giving grudgingly. And that's what we have to understand about grace giving, is that we don't give it grudgingly. And we don't give it out of pressure. There will never be an offering collected as long as I'm here where we will tell you what to give or how much to give. I don't know if you've been in some of these churches that I've been in, but back in the day, there was offerings collected and you couldn't leave church until that offering was collected. Amen. They would collect offering. They would go count it, and if it was not enough, the pastor would come back out. Well, saints of God, we came up a little short, so I need 10 people to give 100, and I need 20 people to give 500. The Lord told me not to release church until we do. And y'all think I'm playing. This is serious. This is serious. And so what Paul is telling the Corinthian church and what I'm telling us today is that we, when we give it from our hearts and not for any other, not for any other reason. Paul says, if you're going to participate, I want you to participate willingly. And so when we give under grace, we give it willingly and not under pressure. And here's the part that I believe most people have taken and they have misused it, they've twisted it. But in verse 6, Paul says this. He says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seed will get only a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now, this scripture has been taken and it's been twisted, it has been used in some manipulative ways. But the fact remains, this is a principle of increase that is a principle of God. And it's in God's word. And so we can't allow what some prosperity church has done to affect us. The principle of increase is the principle of increase. Does anybody here have a garden? Okay. This is a farmer or a gardening illustration. If you take the time to carve out this box in your backyard and you get the soil all prepared, you turn it over, you tend it, and then you only plant a seed in there. The principle of increase says that you're going to only get in proportion to the seed that you sowed. This is just a life law. If you're the type of person that sows a lot of anger, you're going to reap what? A lot of anger. If you're a person that sows a lot of joy, you're going to get what? People are going to want to be around you. But if you're always angry and every time somebody calls you, what are you calling me for? People are not going to call you. It's just a life principle. And so what Paul is telling the Corinthian church is that when God moves on your heart, and you give to kingdom purposes, that God is going to increase you in proportion to what you sowed. It's just a law. And here's the thing that we have to decide. We have to decide, with the blessings that God has given us, are we going to be a conduit or are we going to be a sponge? What is a conduit? A water hose is a what? A conduit. A sponge is what? It soaks up, but you can squeeze some out of it, but it's going to still hold on to some. Are we on the same page? So what Paul is saying is that when God has richly blessed you and you richly bless others, he's going to increase you. But if you are a stingy, hoarding Christian, if you're going to be a sponge, you're going to only get back in proportion of what you sow. It's a choice. And that's what I like about grace giving, is it's a choice. God does not tell us what to give anymore. Because, see, under the law, God outlined to them what they were to bring. Is that right? He told them that they had to bring the first of this, the first of that, bring this particular kind of animal at this particular time. Now what we give is based all on our heart and what Jesus Christ has done for us. And to me, grace giving is tougher than giving under the law. Why? Because if God outlines for me what to give, and I give that, I have met the standard. But if it's left up to me, I don't know if I've met the standard or not. It's all about the impact that God has had on my heart and how thankful I am. And so what we have to understand is that God is a generous giver to us, and we need to be a generous giver to others. This is why most pastors don't preach on this. Because the way y'all are looking at me, that's all right. I got big shoulders. I can handle it. But here's the thing that most non-generous people don't understand. Proverbs 11 says this. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains more. And another person withholds what is right, only to become what? Poor. And so grace giving, here's if I could tie this up in the one succinct statement. Grace giving means this. It means God blesses the giver as well as the gift. As the giver is a blessing to others. I'm going to say that again. Grace giving means God blesses the giver as well as the gift, as the giver is a blessing to others. That's the principle of increase. Now in verse 7, look at verse 7. It says this, it says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. I mean, I just said it's right there. You must decide in your heart how much to give. And he says, do not give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Why? For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And what Paul is saying is the motive in our heart when it comes to giving matters. It's all about the motive. Because what some of these prosperity preachers are teaching people is that you give to get. And the Bible does not validate giving to get. The Bible validates giving based on what God has done for you. And please don't get manipulation and generosity confused. Because some people feel like they can manipulate God to bless them. What does that look like? Well, I'm going to give 100 to this person, and I know that they're going to give 100 to me. Okay, this is a good one. I'm going to give a birthday present to this person because I know that I have a birthday coming up in a month. Please don't say amen. Don't say amen. I'm going to give to them because you know, they drive a nice car and they might invite me over. Or I'm going to give to them because you know, she has a high-powered job at a place and I'm trying to build a relationship. That's manipulation. That is not generosity. Or in church, God, I'm going to give an offering, but God, you know I need that job. So God, I'm going to come to church on Sunday. I'm going to give a good offering, God, because, you know, they supposed to call me on Monday. Don't say amen. That's manipulation. That's giving with the wrong intent. That's giving with bad motives. And I like what Proverbs, again, it's something about Proverbs and the wisdom that Proverbs shares with us about this subject. But Proverbs, the 22nd chapter in verse 9, it says this. It says, he who has a generous eye, and this is in the New King James Version. It says, he who has a generous eye will be blessed. Why? For he gives of his bread to the poor. When you are a generous person and you just have a heart to give, you don't look for a reason to give. You look for an opportunity to give. And you look for an opportunity to give not because of what you can get, but just because you understand how richly God has blessed you. And so I want to go over real quick, what is a blessing? What is a blessing? And why do we want the blessings of God? I like what Dr. Evans said. Dr. Tony Evans describes a blessing like this. He says, it's a God-given capacity to experience, enjoy, and extend the goodness and the favor of God in your life. I like that definition. Why? Because he says it's a God-given capacity for me to experience, for me to enjoy, and for me to extend, to give the goodness and the favor of God in my life. That's a blessing. And so grace giving not only means that God blesses the giver as well as the gift, but it also says grace giving not only opens our heart, but it opens our hands. That's what grace giving is. Jump down with me to verse 8. Verse 8 says this. It says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. And he quoted a Psalms. He says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. And it says, their deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide increase. He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry to give. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express thanks to God. Man, there's a lot in there, and I got 10 minutes to unpack this. What Paul is telling the Corinthian church here, he says, we give and believe that God will meet our needs as we help meet the needs of others. You see, grace giving is about faith and it's about worship. Because if you don't believe that God is going to continually supply your needs, it's going to cause you to do what? To hoard. So grace giving requires faith. And this is where some of us struggle is we really struggle with the faith and the trust in God that God, if I give according to how my heart is affected, God, you could actually have everything I have. God, you could take it all. That's just how thankful I am for what you have done. But God, if I give it, are you going to supply my need? And Paul reassured the church, he says, for God is the one who provides the seed. You see, you think your job is the seed. Your job is not the seed. Your job is a resource. What did we say? The earth is the Lord and everything in it. The world and the people in it belongs to God. That job is not your source. That job that you have is a resource. And because you have the job, because we have jobs that are paying us, that should cause us to give that much more. Sweetheart, make sure you keep that door open, okay? That's why I got you sitting there, in case they all just come up here. But here's the thing. Verse 8 is saying this. It says, your cheerful generosity is going to multiply into greater benefit to you, greater blessings to others, and then God is going to get the glory. See, that's where the prosperity people, they have missed out on it is they made the blessings about them, but the blessing is really not about us. It's about God getting the glory. And that's what Paul is telling the church. He says, man, when you give and you give cheerfully and you give generously to the kingdom purposes of God, God's got you. And God is going to be a God of his word. And if God tells me in the Bible that he got me, that he's going to provide for me, and then he's going to, as when I give cheerfully, what this text is saying is that when I give cheerfully and generously, God is going to provide all of the needs I have, and the text says that he's going to make sure that I have plenty to give others. You can't beat that deal. God, as I give back to you, you're going to continually to give to me. And as long as I give back to you and I'm giving to others, it's just this continual cycle that just continues, that just goes on and on and on. Not based off of what I'm trying to get, but God, because my heart is broken for you. God, my heart is broken for your people. And so you got to understand that when we give, it's an act of faith and it's an act of worship. Oh, okay, so you don't believe me about the worship. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says this. It says, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. In one translation, it says, for the ministry of this service. And that word service in verse 12, it's translated in the Greek liturgy, which means a service or a ministry. And it's defined as a charitable gift, public service in the widest sense, or service as of a priest or a Levite ritual. What is it saying? It's saying that when we give to others, this ministry of service of giving to others, it is like in the Old Testament when the priest would take the offerings, he would take the offerings and he would go into the holies of the holies and he would present it to God. When we are given our offerings, it's like we are doing a priestly service. That we are going in the deepest form of worship. We're presenting it to God. And so when you write out that check, when you set up that recurring gift, however that you give, when you drop them in the boxes in the back, you need to have a heart and a mind that, man, this is a service that I am presenting in a priestly manner, that I'm bringing this to God. I'm not paying this. I'm giving this. And so, the goal of grace giving is this. And Paul sums this up in verse 12 when he says, so two good things happen. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. And so the goal of grace giving is this: the giver and receiver are blessed, and God is magnified. The goal of grace giving is the giver and receiver are blessed, and God is magnified. We don't give it out of compulsion. We don't give it out of obligation. We give it because God is a generous God and that he gives to us first. And so here's a generosity prayer that I have for us. And I'll make sure that we get this on the screen on next week. But here's a prayer that I would ask you all to pray. And just think about it throughout the day. And here's this prayer. It says, God, you have blessed me in all ways, at all times, with more than I need. Lead me to live generously and share joyfully with others. That should be our prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for who you are. God, thank you as we approach this tough subject, God, of living generously. God, I pray that this word today falls on the good soil of our hearts. God, that's especially for some of us, God, that we give, God, and we give consistently, God. But God, sometimes it can just become a routine for us. God, I pray that for those of us that are generous when we give, God, and we give consistently, God, I pray that it doesn't become routine, that we never lose the worship aspect of giving. God, that we always trust you because your word says, God, that you will give it back to us, God. And God, I like the way that you return seed, God. And so, God, I pray that our hearts are in the right place as we give. God, that our eyes are open as it says in Proverbs. I pray that you open our eyes, God, for opportunities to be more generous as we go through our day, as we see people, as you put people in our paths, God. God, I pray that we have a generous eye. And God, thank you for continuously blessing us, God, with all that you have. God, we live in one of the most richest countries on this earth, God. And we, God, even for us who don't think we have a lot, God, we have way more than a lot of other people in other parts of this world. And so, God, I pray that as we go through this generosity series, God, I pray that it causes us, one, to be more thankful, and two, God, that it causes our hearts to be broken more for you and your kingdom purposes. And God, I pray that you continue to just provide us with the resources, God, so that we could be a conduit and not a sponge. So God, I just thank you, God, for all that you're going to do and all that you, the people that our generosity is going to affect. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.